Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with me again on this edition.
Hey, Kevin.
Welcome, Bill. It's good to have you in studio one more time.
It's just always amazing.
Man, you've been doing this for, what, 89 years?
Yeah.
Oh, trying to figure this out.
Well, you're being kind. It's more like 96 years.
Okay. Well, Bill, the ancient sage of the Worldview community, is with us on this edition. Always good to have a sage-like input to the program, Bill. But did you see where Richard Dawkins lost his Humanist of the Year award? I mean, that's got to be hard. That's tough.
It is hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Because he just stated what he's touted all along about science. Science.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the science.
All about the science.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And he was kind of goaded into addressing the transgender issue.
Yeah.
And gender identity.
Yeah. And apparently he had not abandoned all semblance of every part of reality as the rest of the world has done. And
right.
He still was holding on to the quote unquote misguided notion that there were boys and girls, men and women, XYs and XXs, I guess, in the world. And he was like not willing to capitulate on every point of abandoning rationality and reality. God has given them up to a perverted mind at almost every level. It seems to me what happened is he stopped at roughly verse 23 of Romans 1. He hasn't moved on into just abandoning all sense of rationality. God has given up our societies to perverted thinking to the point at which insanity is where we are. We live in a insane asylum. But, Bill, ultimately the insanity begins with the presupposition that there is no God. In fact, we just did that in our discipleship group this morning, Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's where it began with Richard Dawkins. And that's where it continues.
Yeah. In fact, I just finished a unit with my students at Worldview at the Abbey, our Bridger program, down in Canyon City, and you start with the a priori assumption. You know, what is your first assumption? And for the Christian, the first assumption is Hebrews 11:6. He who comes to God must first believe that he, God, is. And then what is the a priori assumption for a Richard Dawkins? That there is no God.
He isn't.
Yeah, he isn't. Mm-hmm. So it's not circular reasoning when we say we believe the Bible because it's God's word, and how do we know it's God? Because that's our first set of assumptions, that God exists. And when you start with Richard Dawkins, it's amazing. He's just thrown out an anchor. He has decided not to follow his worldview consistently. He's just headed toward the waterfall. He's headed toward Niagara Falls in a dinghy, and he just decided to throw out an anchor. And here's what he said. He said, there are two sexes, and that's all there is to it.
And that's just blasphemy.
Yes.
To the system out there today
that
dominates. And that system, of course, is ultimate autonomy.
But because he's given birth to this system.
He gave birth to autonomy. It's autonomy when you say, hey, I'm going to determine what is true, what is essentially true for myself. And that's what he's done when he abandoned God's word and said, I will be the source of my own revelation. And I will work off of that, and that, of course, is that there is no God, and that evolution is a fact.
But now he's declared himself to be God because he says, this is the fact, Jack.
Yeah.
And so he says you're autonomous, but he's going to determine what is true for everybody else, right?
And we get it from divine revelation. Man and woman, male and female, created he them. Genesis 1:28. Can't get around that, can you?
Nope.
That's God's word. That's still in stone. That's our source of revelation.
If Dawkins tries to get around it and ignore it, then he's left on a sea of opinions with a million options and no compass to guide
him. He's very upset, of course, because the system doesn't allow for what he calls free speech. He says, well, there's all this bullying going on, including, he mentioned J.K. Rowling has been bullied. Kathleen Stock has been bullied. They stood up to this, but it's very upsetting the way this tiny minority of people has managed to capture the discourse and really talk errant nonsense. So Richard Dawkins is very upset. He lost his Humanist of the Year award. And sadly, he wasn't very open to questions about inconsistencies in atheism's dogma on origins. He says he's very upset that, you know, the system isn't willing to have conversations.
Yeah.
And that there's inconsistencies in the left's dogmas on gender and identity. But he's got inconsistencies in atheism's dogma on origins. And as in, once you've abandoned God, all bets are off for all possibility of any truth. And the idea that he could even assume that there could be anything like right and wrong in this universe of pure, you know, nothing but matter in motion is an inconsistency that he is not willing to deal with. He hasn't dealt with the more fundamental inconsistencies.
No.
Let's not even talk about the inconsistencies in gender theory. Let's talk about the inconsistencies in terms of his insistence that ethics still exist. Moreover, in an evolutionary world, what if some humans decided that, we need to destroy all human life on planet Earth? Or what if, in an evolutionary construct, these people decide that it would be wonderful if we could design some sort of evolutionary conception where we could design our own gender and develop perhaps hundreds, if not thousands, of distinct genders as all part of our evolutionary development? What if somebody brought that back based upon his own presuppositions? Well, now he has no leg to stand on. And that, of course, is because he has jettisoned all notion of truth. He abandons the beginning of wisdom, which is the fear of God, and therefore he himself is nothing but nonsense. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. You know, busyness has a way of creeping into our lives. As dads, it can leave us longing for moments of one-on-one time with our sons to simply talk. And those moments can be tough to come by. I get it. That's one of our top goals for our annual summer father-son retreat in the Colorado Mountains, to provide quality time for you to connect with your son. If you are looking for an opportunity to bond, to really bond with your son, then join me, Kevin Swanson, and hundreds of others. But be sure to register soon, because we max out the camp every year and we're already filling up. Go to ColoradoFatherSon.com today and choose one of the 2 weekends available before they are full. Lord willing, I will be there, and it will be a great opportunity to meet you and your son. This is your chance to secure the lowest price for this event, so go to ColoradoFatherSon.com and register today. And back on Generations, this is Kevin Swanson. Bill, Rich Dawkins lost his Humanist of the Year award. He's upset. Say, hey, they're bullying me. They're shutting down discourse. Where's the conversation? Why can't I get a word in edgewise?
Yeah.
A tiny minority that's jumped into this and dominated the conversation. So what about me? Can I have any input? Seems to me a lot of creationists have been saying something similar to that in the public schools in every Western nation for the last 40 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. He said, Piers Morgan asked Dawkins why society has, quote, lost that ability to actually have an open and frank debate, end quote. The scientist replied, well, there are people for whom the word discuss doesn't mean discuss. It means you've taken a position, which I hadn't. I thought it was a reasonable thing to discuss. Wait a minute. The question of origins is beyond the scope of science. At best, it's a philosophy of science. You can't test it, observe it, repeat it, measure it, test it. That's beyond the scope of science. At best, it's a philosophy of science. And I would say it's a model. It's an attempt to explain reality.
Somebody has shut down discourse on this one.
Yes. Who has shut down the discourse on this notion of there may be more than one possible story of origins out there outside of the evolutionary model? Oh, it's Richard Dawkins.
And it seems to me that you and I were on a local television program, speaking of shutting down discourse.
Oh,
you remember,
man,
that experience?
Oh, we got roasted.
Man
we
alive.
Got roasted.
Man alive, you talk about shutting down discourse. There wasn't much of a discourse going on in that conversation.
No, the moderator turned out to be, against us.
And he stomped off the stage at the end of it, would not shake hands.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there hasn't been a lot of discourse on a few other issues, Rich.
Keep that in mind. So suddenly, Richard Dawkins is the victim of his own problem.
They're eating themselves alone.
Yes.
That's what they do.
They're just nibbling at his fingers and toes right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pretty soon, it's going to be, the alligator's going to be up to his kneecaps. And that's when he's going to really squawk.
Okay. Here's another example of shutting down discourse. Al Mohler has a really good editorial in World Magazine, and this I think just came out this morning. Apparently, it happened in Arizona at the Washington Elementary School District's February 28th board meeting. This would have been, I guess, in the Phoenix area. But apparently what happened was they were considering the student teachers coming off of Arizona Christian University, which is actually, I think, isn't that where George Barna hangs out? I think
it is.
Yeah.
We actually do one of our Worldview Academy leadership camps at that university.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right.
We have for the past few
years. So ACU's been providing student teachers in Arizona for 11 years. And these guys got a hold of ACU's, I guess, vision statement or something, and discovered that this university educates kids with a biblical lens.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. And that's where
I didn't realize. I think I'm going to have to call them up and see if we can move our camp from...
No. It's a biblical lens.
Oh.
Biblical lens.
I thought you said anti-biblical lens.
No. It's a biblical lens. And so this, you know, the core commitments of the Christian University was Christianity, it turned out. That was a big shock for this board.
Yeah, and
by the way, it was Arizona Christian University.
Yes.
So you would think that would be something of a hint.
No.
Anyway, they did some research and found out that they are committed as a university to Jesus Christ, accomplishing his will, advancing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So that was the vision statement. And but then they began to read on and found that that they wanted to influence, engage, and transform the culture with truth by promoting the biblically informed values that are foundational to Western civilization. I think they've read Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, perhaps. A central complaint targeted the Christian school's commitment to traditional sexual morality and lifelong marriage between one man and one woman. Now, at that point, you can imagine the mushroom cloud exploding over the meeting of the board. Anyway, that's what happened.
Yeah, the school president of the Arizona Public School District was concerned that they weren't caring about diversity, inclusion, and equity. That's D-I-E. Die.
That spells everybody.
D-I-E.
Everybody that spells.
Yeah, death. That's death.
Mm-hmm.
Diversity, and they like to say D-E-I, diversity, equity, and inclusion. But I say diversity, inclusion, and equity. I like to be very inclusive.
Yeah.
And it is the death of education.
And the death knell of human civilization when you bring that kind of stuff in.
You would think that they would, just looking at, they've been doing this for 7 years. They've had student teachers come from Arizona Christian for 7 years?
No, I think it said 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
And they're just now figuring out.
They just figured out that Christianity is about Christianity.
Yeah. And it hasn't had a negative effect on students so far.
They're very, very upset about the whole thing. The board members made specific complaints about the theological commitments of a Christian university and then refused to approve student teachers from the public school district, all on the pretext of harm that might come to the elementary school students through the student teachers. So this is Al Mohler's assessment of it. So the reality actually gets even uglier and more urgently important, sensing that their action might be construed as a violation of religious liberty. The board chairwoman stipulated, for me, this is not a concern about Christianity. It's really a concern about what Christians believe. You know, so it's not a concern about Christianity.
Yeah, yeah.
Plenty of Christian denominations who are LGBTQ friendly. So I want to make it clear that for me, my pause is not that they're Christians so much as this particular institution's strong anti-LGBTQ stance and their belief that you believe this to be the core and you take it out into the world.
In other words, it's exactly why Christians were persecuted in Rome. You could believe anything you wanted to in the early days of Rome. It didn't matter. There were all kinds of mystery religions. But Christians were persecuted because they refused to pinch the incense to the statue of Caesar once a year and declare Caesar as Lord.
Or in this
and
case,
so therefore,
to declare,
they were enemies of the state.
Right. Or and to declare the religion of the state.
Yes.
Which is autonomy, which is ultimate ethical autonomy, which means that you can do whatever you want sexually.
This is the same thing right
because
here. You're
man,
seeing the same thing.
Man is entirely autonomous to any part of God's law. And if there's any Christian out there, this is, excuse me very much, but we actually submit to the law of God as absolute. That particular person will not be allowed in the pantheon. And that's where we are today, my friends. That's where we are. Now, it's interesting that he refers, this is Al Mohler, refers to this as unconstitutional, which is interesting. And it's, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court has disallowed the Bible, prayer in school, the fear of God, the sort, the Ten Commandments.
Now, they haven't, no, you gotta understand the ruling. It's always state-sponsored Bible reading, state-sponsored posting of the Ten Commandments, state-sponsored. See what I'm saying?
But they're okay with state-sponsored atheism, state-sponsored.
Yeah, of course. But
humanism.
But Christian teachers mentalism. Need to understand their liberties. They can post mm-hmm. the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
They can put up posters about with quotes from the Bible. They can pray, but they can't lead the students in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Christian teachers are the problem, Kevin,
mm-hmm.
because I was an enabler. I enabled the system to continue. For the paycheck, until I learned my liberties, until I was convicted, and until we get Christian teachers who will rise up and say, I'm going to put a Christian flag in the window next to my teacher in the next room who puts up the gay pride flag, I'm going to put a Christian flag up. I'm going to put up quotes from heroes of history who quote about their faith in Jesus Christ, like Columbus. I'm going to put up proverbs on the wall, on the board, until we get Christians who say, I'm going to put my Bible on my desk, and when I have free reading time for students, I will read out of the Bible quietly and silently. Until we have Christian teachers who rise up, you're going to get more and more of this.
I still think they're going to have to break the law.
Because
you take something like Edwards v. Aguillard. I just read this decision from 1987 again, which forbade the teaching of creationism,
yep,
side by side with evolutionism, and the whole point was the whole point of Edwards was that secularism. And by the way, mentioned 50 times. I didn't realize that, you know, the U.S. federal government had declared itself to be secular and to be falling at the altar of secularism.
Yes.
So I didn't realize that there was such a formality about the acceptance of the secular religion, which is the separation of religion, or at least Christianity, from other civic affairs. The separation of church and state, they say, but really the separation of the Christian faith
right. From
civic affairs.
We are a secular society.
Civic life, from business life, from every other part of life. That's the legal definition. So I actually went, because how do they view secular? Secular is actually a Latin word for worldly, you know, about the world. And so secularism is actually a religion, the religion of the United States federal government, the formal religion. Remember, every government has a religion. Just pick your religion. The American religion is secularism. And I would add humanism, because there's the worship of man as the source of his own reality, the source of his own truth, the source of his own ethics. That's what humanism is. And secularism. But why secularism? Because you have to come out with a religion that disallows the Christian religion from being applied to civic affairs. And that's specifically, that's the legal definition of secularism. And that's why it's mentioned in Edwards.
It was founded by George Jacob Holyoake in the mid-1840s. He coined the term secularism.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
He didn't like the term atheism.
Mm-hmm.
And he was attempting to draw Christians and non-Christians together on a neutral ground to create an ethical society. Now, he failed miserably. He died a failure in his lifetime. But if you were to come back to life today and walk the halls
with what's going on.
Of any of our institutions, including many of our churches, he would discover he succeeded. We're all secularized. It is the belief that there may or may not be a God, but even if there is a God, he's irrelevant.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
That's
I like that definition.
That
wasn't exactly in the dictionary.
No, in dictionary it
says. The legal dictionary.
Dictionary says that it is exclusion of or rejection
of religion.
Of religion or religious considerations.
But the legal definition.
Religion.
The legal definition is the separation of Christian faith from life, but also I would say it's polytheism.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it allows for all of the gods of the pantheon, except for the God who says, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Yeah.
All except for that one. That one is not allowed in American classrooms today, except for the Christians that stand up and say, hey, we're just going to do this. Now, this, what's interesting is Arizona is not Colorado. I think this is interesting that Arizona is still pretty much a red state, and yet there turns out to be something more of this persecution of Christians in classrooms in Arizona. It's probably this way in almost every state at this point.
Now, did you read that there are three board members, school board members, who identify as members of the LGBTQ
I think
community,
I saw that. Uh-huh.
Including Tamila Valenzuela. She wears cat ears and identifies as a bilingual, disabled, neurodivergent, queer, black, Latina.
Okay. Well, whatever that is.
That's a lot to take in, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, here's the final point, and we're going to end here. This is where Albert Mohler, his article in World Magazine, comes forward and says, what's happening here is biblical Christianity is being cut off from civilized society.
Now, secularism.
They're cutting us off.
Yep.
They're taking us out. And I think that's interesting. I think that's what's happening. Now, increasingly, I think we're seeing a separation of Christians from public schools and from public charities and in some cases from corporations. Have you seen what some of our men and women, employees of technical companies, have to sign in order to be a part of that company? It's the ethics department or the HR department, which inevitably is going to be the most liberal department in the company. They are requiring that our Christian men and women make proper prostrations to the God of homosexuality.
Exactly.
And if they don't, they will be dismissed from civilized society.
Yep.
That's what's happening here, friends. Now, sometimes we just, I think, have to separate because we're just not making, it's not for us. It's just not for us. For example, we separate our kids out of the public schools because to send your child to a school in which they are teaching a form of knowledge that is not based in the fear of God, you are disobeying God as a mom and as a dad, and you can't do that. So at points, I think we become increasingly pilgrims and strangers in the earth. It's very interesting that we're having to supply our own schools, our own homeschools, our own charities, our own cultural systems to displace those that are self-destructing all around us. And I mean that. They're self-destructing.
Yeah.
Our society is self-destructing. The only way that we're going to salvage anything is by building our own. And in this sense, I think we're becoming more pilgrims and strangers. It's interesting. We had this conversation after the evening service. We have a Q&A time. And we're talking about render to Caesar things that are Caesar's. And afterwards, we had a very interesting conversation. It went on for half an hour. Typically, our Q&A will go for 5 minutes. But we're talking about, are we pilgrims and strangers? Are we Puritanish where we're involved in the system? Or are we more and more separating from the system? Now, I take the position that it's a continuum. And there's a degree to which we are Puritan. There's a degree to which we are separatist.
Yeah,
so we don't have to be purely on one side or the other. It tends to be something of a continuum. There are times at which Christians are forced into exile. There's a sense in which we are on a journey to a new heavens and new earth. I get that. But if we are intense, even if we are intense, here's a point I made on Sunday. We're still concerned about the cleanliness of the campground. You know, just using the metaphor. Okay, so suppose you are intense, suppose you have been somewhat separated from the rest of the camp, you're still interested in the cleanliness of the campground. You're still interested in what's happening in civil society. The challenge with public schools and public charities, we find it inherently corrupting. It's the redistribution of wealth. We see it as damaging people. We see it as robbery. We don't like it. We find it as inherently evil. We also see it as undermining our liberties at points. And if that be the case, I think we need to get engaged. But here's, if you sign your kids up for the public schools, if you sign your kids up for medical care provided by the state, then you're probably going to have to relinquish your rights on preventive care. That is, if the state steps in and says, we're taking care of all the corrective stuff. So now we're introducing preventive stuff. And so now you're going to have to subject your child to all these shots, and you get no decision whatsoever when it comes to the medical decisions for your children.
Because
you've already signed up for the socialist charitable programs. You've signed up for the socialist educational programs. If that be the case, you have signed away your right.
You've given your children to Moloch.
You have, and you've signed away your right. You've turned it over to the government to make decisions as to your children's education, medical care, and everything else.
And then there are those people, those Christians, who say, well, things are going so far south. that we don't need to get our hands dirty in politics. We are just to be heavenly minded. And my response to those people is, if you are only heavenly minded, then you are of no earthly good.
We're still called to be salt and light.
We are to be, Christians have brought about an end to slavery through political means. Christians have brought about the end to the mistreatment of animals. We have established child labor laws. We brought an end to sati in India, the practice of burning widows alive on husbands' funeral pyres. We Christians bring the teachings of Jesus, because he said, teach them to observe all that I commanded. We bring those into culture, and we bless culture with the teachings of Jesus, whether they be Christians or not. They're still blessed by the word having a salting and lighting effect in all aspects of culture, including law and politics and government.
Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be salted? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Yeah, there's a direct possibility that we have to separate at points in the community. And I feel that way more than I ever have. That we are less part of the public schools than we've ever been before.
When you have a board member who wears cat ears,
it's hard to really feel like you're a part of that inclusive society.
Who in the world elected such a nutcase to a school board?
And to the extent that the world has become a mental institute, it's so hard to feel as if we belong as members in this. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Are we separating from the big banks, the big corporations that refuse to sign their, as we refuse to sign their ethics documents that require us to make the proper prostrations to the gods of homosexuality? We're still involved. I think we still want governments to leave us alone so we can, you know, vote for people who would most likely leave us alone and not impose tyrannical, draconian impositions upon us. So we're still involved, absolutely. We need to fight against the rise of the police state, the rise of forced abortion, forced birth control, forced shots, or whatever tyrannical device the draconian state's going to attempt to levy on us. But friends, bottom line, we have responsibility still to do good to all men, but especially to the household of God. So we get our priorities there. Yeah, absolutely. We want to protect our people. We want to be sure that we have freedoms, liberties for all of our people. But hey, we also want liberty for the unborn. We also want the right to life for those who may not be members of the Christian church, members of the Christian community, but they still need the right to life. They still need their liberties protected. God's law still needs to be defended at every level, at every opportunity we have in the public forum. So let's just do it. Well, friends, if you'd like a better concept for how we engage with society, grab a copy of my book, The Story of Freedom, which gets into the current battle for freedom. How do we engage it? What's the strategy? And what's the story behind 800 years of Christians engaged in the battle for liberty? Get a copy of The Story of Freedom at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.